Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild pervitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. Cause this storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is May 26, 2020. About a week left. Well, not, just shy of a week left in this month, and then we will start into the final quarter, or the last month of the second quarter of this year. And I see my buddy Hamstrap in the chat room. How you doing, brother? Still wondering, where's those... You started out sending me a lot of emails, and then you stopped after I said something. I wasn't trying to offend you or anything. I get so overwhelmed with emails sometimes that it's you know, just don't have time to research everything. But I do like to get at least one email a week from all my different listeners because it tells me that they're listening. And it also... you know, gives them a chance to once a week send in what they think is like the most important story of the week. And then I can go and look at it. And it, you know, helps me to put together the broadcast because there's a lot of, I mean, when you, come on, folks, think about this. 5 days a week, 3 hours on Sunday, and then an hour on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. I need all the help I can get. Anyway, we're going to pick up part two. We're going to pick up where we left off last night. And this will be, I guess, call it part two of our laying out the argument that this may have this whole coronavirus thing may have been planned. Now, yesterday when we began, we started out talking about how it was believed that this was planned and prepared for decades in advance, that the infrastructure that over the past two plus decades has been set up to ensure that when this, some people are calling it Operation Coronavirus, went live, all the pieces would already be in place. And this whole thing was set up to be basically bamboozle and enslave the people and force them into a situation or into a place within their own minds that they would gladly accept and maybe even beg for mass vaccinations. Now, this, again, as some are calling it, Operation Coronavirus, this resembles a false flag, what most people would refer to as a false flag. I call it, well, actually, it would be a false flag because, actually, I would call it a staged event because I differentiate between a false flag and a staged event. A false flag is something that never happened, okay? Like the whole Gulf of Tonkin incident. never happened. While there were people in the area and things were going on, the incident that they claim happened that drew the American U.S. into the Vietnam War, that incident never happened. So that's a false flag. This would actually be what I would consider a staged event. If in fact the theories are true, this would be a staged event, like September 11th, the Oklahoma City bombing, the Boston Marathon bombing, the London subway bombing, the London bus bombings. These were all staged events because people actually were hurt, people actually died, property was actually destroyed. It was something that actually happened. So, you know, be that as it may, this does in many ways symbolize or resemble a staged event. Now, one similarity, as we pointed out last night at the beginning of the broadcast, was that, you know, this whole thing, if it was planned, it was meticulously planned long in advance. Now, some people may notice other similarities, the phenomenon of, like, as Mike Pompeo said, we're in the middle of a live exercise, in which Trump in the background replied, I wish somebody had told me. this could be a drill going live. This crops up in so many of these types of events, and when the exact scenario being trained for and prepared for in an exercise occurs actually in the real world. The Boston Marathon bombing, perfect example. They had set up a bombing drill at the library in that very area, right across the street where the actual pipe bomb went off. This would be a perfect example of a live drill, a drill going live. The London subway bombing. There were actual drills set to take place in London at the exact moment the bombings took place. Coinky dink? Who knows? I don't believe in coinky dink. So last night we began our look beginning in 1977, and we came forward from 1977. We discussed the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which was passed October 28, 1977, Executive Order 12127, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which was set up in March 31st of 1799. That was the actual executive order that set up the FEMA, that actually set FEMA in place. And just a month later, in July of 79, Executive Order 12148, which was the Federal Emergency Management Executive Order, which transferred authorities from other agencies to FEMA and also brought other agencies into FEMA and under FEMA's control, making them basically a complete separate entity free of White House interference and basically an authority in and of themselves. Then we looked at Executive Order 12919, the National Defense Industrial Resource Preparedness Act, which is which backed up the Defense Production Act, which Trump invoked twice. Both of these were built off of the Defense Production Act of 1950. Then we looked at Dark Winter, which was an exercise in June 2001. Then we discussed the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, which was established in 2001. Then we looked at the Project BioShield Act, which was set up in 2004. And then we looked at, from 2005 to 2012, the viruses that somehow managed to find their way out of Fort Detrick, Maryland. And then we looked at the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act of 2005. Then we discussed the Rockefeller Foundation paper of 2010 called Lockstep. Then we got into the Executive Order 13603, the National Defense Resource Preparedness, which we linked to the Industrial Preparedness Act, which was backed up Also, both of these backed up by the Defense Production Act of 1950. Then we discussed, as several times we've mentioned here on the broadcast, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, with their research into the coronavirus and how it actually mimics exactly what we're seeing today, the very virus we're seeing today. Then we got into Dr. Fauci and his warning in 2007 of a surprise outbreak during the Trump administration and asking the question, how did he know? And we finally rounded up with U.S. NORTHCOM, U.S. NORTHCOM, that's the United States Northern Command, U.S. NORTHCOM Branch Plan 3560, which was in January of 2017, the same year and the same month as Dr. Fauci's speech at Georgetown University talking about the Trump administration would be dealing with a pandemic. And that's where we left off last night. So tonight we're going to pick up with the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Act of 2017. Now this, similar to Section 817 of the Patriot Act, which the expansion of the biological weapons statute, which gave the United States government immunity from violating its own biological weapons law, this act, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Act, reorganizes the Department of Homeland Security, National Protection and Programs Directorate, the NPPD, into a totally new agency. The critical infrastructure of cybersecurity agency activist post reporter Janet Phelan wrote that this new act further cemented the United States government's ability to covertly deploy through water, which is defined as critical infrastructure, any biological or chemical agent and claim not only immunity, but also deny any legal right to protest this through the legal system. Given the covert nature of this delivery system, it is to be expected that the United States would claim that the resultant mass deaths to be attributed to a naturally occurring pandemic. What this tells us is they could dump a bunch of anthrax into your city's water supply, and then they could claim that all of you who die from that, well, it was naturally occurring. They literally, they could do that. That's what this does. Okay, so now we come to, I'm sorry, folks, you can't make this up. Well, somebody made this up, only it's real. Who the hell thinks this stuff up, man? I'm serious. So now we come to August of 2019. Oh, no, wait a minute. We've got to go back to, we can't go come to August 2019 yet, because there's something that actually took place between 2017 and 2019, and that would be Clade X. Now, what was Clade X? We're doing a thing on Clade X on the Spreaker broadcast. We've already, in the past two Sundays, we've covered segment one and segment two. This coming Sunday, we'll get into segment three. And again, if anybody wants to be a part of that roundtable, you need to go and watch the Clade X segment three. You can find it on YouTube. C-L-A-D-E space X, Clade X. Watch it. Email me, the number one, AmericanRenegade@gmail.com. Email me your Skype ID, and I will send you an invite. And the invite will come from Dancing with Poi, D-A-N-C-I-N-G, W-I-T-H-P-O-I, Dancing with Poi, and it'll pop up, say, Dude McDude, and that'll be me. Or you just send an invite via Skype, to Dancing with Poi, DancingWithPoi, Dancing with Poi. It'll show up, Dude McDude. Send an invite request and say, I want to be on the round table. I'll add you, and then Sunday when we're ready, I'll bring you in. So Clade X. Now, Clade X was a day-long pandemic tabletop exercise hosted by none other than the John Hopkins Center for Health Security on May 15th, 2018 in Washington, D.C. And this simulated a series of National Security Council's convened meetings of 10 U.S. government leaders played by individuals prominent in the fields of national security and pandemic response. Drawing from actual events, Clade X identified important policy issues and preparedness challenges that could be solved with sufficient political will and attention. These issues were designed in a narrative to engage and educate the participants and the audience, and the lessons learned from this exercise were distilled and shared broadly following the exercise. And my question is, if this was so effective, if this Clade X exercise was so damn effective, then why in the hell did you fail on an epic scale with this coronavirus? You had damn near 2 years to prepare. And this was your second such exercise. Because if we go back, let me drop this out of the way, and if we go back to, let me find it here, Dark Winter. Dark Winter, no, they dealt with a scenario in which anthrax was the bad guy. So this was your second, with Dark Winter of 2001, there was the first exercise with something of nefarious nature, but this was your this whole Clade X was your second exercise, and this one was actually dealing with a flu virus. You learn nothing, and now we got reports came out about a month ago that the Obama administration actually had left because of their dealings with the Ebola outbreak and the H1N1 outbreak and SARS outbreak all during the Obama administration. Remember the Ebola outbreak in Africa, the SARS outbreak in China, the H1N1 outbreak here in the United States. According to all reports, the Obama administration had left a pandemic playbook. Now you add all of this together and you still didn't learn anything? And this Clade X, this took place in 2018. This was the Trump administration. Yo, Donnie boy, you're failed. Epic. Fail. So that brings us to 2019. And here we find evidence that this COVID-19 virus may possibly have originated in the United States. According to Global Research, which is a hell of a damn website, they do some great work. They've uncovered evidence. The Japanese and Taiwanese epidemiologists and pharmacologists have determined that the new coronavirus almost certainly originated in the United States, since the United States is the only country in the world known to have all five types from which all others have descended. What that means is the... the Fort Detrick's bioweapons lab has all five trunks. They're called trunks of every known coronavirus from which all others have descended. Wuhan in China has only one of those types, rendering it an analogy of a kind of branch, and a branch cannot exist by itself. It had to have been grown from a tree or a trunk. So where did China get its branch if the United States is the only one that has them? Now, the Taiwanese physician noted that in August of 2019, the United States had a flurry of lung pneumonia lung pneumonias or similar similar medical issues, which here in America they blamed all of it on vaping of e-cigarettes, but which, according to the scientists, the symptoms and conditions could not be explained by e-cigarettes. And they said that they wrote to U.S. officials telling them they suspected that those deaths were likely due to a coronavirus. But those warnings were ignored. Now, immediately prior to that, the CDC totally shut down the bioweapon lab at Fort Detrick, Maryland. This was in 2019, just last year, folks. Remember all of this was going on last year? Remember this? And they shut down the Fort Detrick bioweapons lab due to an absence of safeguards against pathogen leakages. And they issued a complete cease and desist order to the military right after this, the e-cigarette epidemic popped up. In 2019, August 8, 2019, a New York Times headline reads, "Deadly germ research is shut down at Army lab over safety concerns. Problem with disposal of dangerous materials led to the government to suspend research at the military's leading biodefense center." Now remember, this wasn't the first time such concerns have arisen. Because remember, I told you earlier, and I've mentioned this several times, between 2005 and 2012, the latest date for which accurate figures are listed, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, received 1,059 released reports, an average of an incident every few days, involving theft, loss, release causing an occupational exposure, or release outside of primary biocontainment barriers. All of these were dangerous pathogens. The New York Times and Western media pilloried China for several small leaks of a virus 10 years ago. But here's the thing. When you combine the number of incidents at Fort Detrick's bioweapons lab and the instances in China, the United States had 1,057 more serious releases than China did during the same exact period. That means China only had two releases. The United States had 1,059. But we've got the nerve to criticize China. So now we come forward to August 2019. Again, same year, last year. Two exercises conducted in the second half of the year. Both happened to simulate a situation where a viral pandemic broke out and made its way to the United States. The first one finished in August of 2019. That was called the Crimson Contagion and was run by the United States government. The full name was Crimson Contagion 2019 Functional Exercise. In it, the United States government prophetically simulated a viral outbreak that began where? In China. Landed in Chicago, infecting 110 million Americans. The conclusion of the simulation was that the federal government lacked the funds, coordination, and resources to effectively combat the virus. And finding such justifies even greater spending on pandemic preparedness. The simulation was led by former Air Force physician Robert Kedlick, who was also involved in Dark Winter. And now COVID-19, he's involved with that. Coinky dink. Remember, I don't believe in coinky dink. September 2019. Japanese citizens affected in September of 2019. Where? In Hawaii. Wait a minute. In Hawaii in 2009, in September of 2019? Wait a minute, the outbreak in China didn't take place until November. People that had never been to China. These infections occurred on U.S. soil long before the outbreak in Wuhan, shortly after the shutdown of Fort Detrick. folks, we connect the dots here. Remember, I've said several times, if I can connect the dots, that's good enough for me. Now, that brings us to October. Isn't it interesting here? August, September, October, month after month, right? Just one month, month after month after month, there's something going on. So October 18th, 2019, in New York, again, the Johns Hopkins Center, partnering with the Economic World, the World Economic Forum, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and others, Event 201. And we've talked about that here. Remember, we did a four-part series right here on BTR. We did a four-part series of Event 201. This was a global pandemic exercise, which was simulated of a coronavirus pandemic that broke out this time in Brazil and came to the United States. Just another coincidence, of course, I'm sure. Attendees included the CDC, the Chinese CDC, the World Economic Forum in partnership with the World Health Organization, Big Pharma representatives, Johnson & Johnson, and others. Event 201 was run by New World Order frontman Bill Gates, who has used his fortune to push GMOs and vaccines all over the world. Gates has been very visible during this pandemic using mainstream media platforms to preach the need for mandatory vaccines and possible digital certificates or immunity passports, which people would need to travel again after the lockdown's over. Event 201 happened a mere 2 months before the December 9, 2019 outbreak and meticulously prepared for the coronavirus censorship to come, which has resulted in big tech, i.e. YouTube, only allowing info in alignment with the World Health Organization, all funded by Bill Gates. I see Bringing It Boy in the chat room. Welcome. If you guys have not done it yet, you need to go back and listen to last night's broadcast because it was part one of this, what we're discussing tonight. So you'll have to have that along with this in order to get the full, yeah, and it's energy draining, believe me. This is just unreal. Okay, so also October 18th to October 27th. This was at the same exact time that the Event 201 was taking place. This time on Chinese social media, an article appeared aware of the September infections in Hawaii. Remember, we mentioned that just a little while ago. Coronavirus infections in Hawaii in September, long before the outbreak in Hawaii in China. But yet this is originating in China. See, folks, this is not something is seriously wrong here. All right. But they present further details and state in part that five foreign athletes or other persons visiting Wuhan for the World Military Games. Remember, I told you about this several weeks ago. I've mentioned this many times, that 300 U.S. military personnel went to Wuhan, China, for the equivalent of the Olympics, the military equivalent of the Olympics, and that several of them ended up in the hospital sick with these odd pneumonia-type symptoms, okay? But they recovered, and when they came back home, they checked out, they were got a physical, they checked out fine, and nothing was ever said. Shortly after that, bing, bang, boom, outbreak in China. Okay? The article that they put out also explained more clearly that the virus, the Wuhan version of the virus, could have come only from the United States because it's what they call a branch, which could not have been created in China because China doesn't have the seed or the tree or what they call the trunk. And if China doesn't have a tree, a trunk, a seed, whatever you want to call it, they can't make a branch. And the outbreak in China was a branch. meaning someone else created it and brought it in. Now, there's been a lot of public speculation that the coronavirus had been deliberately transmitted to China, but according to Chinese articles, they believe that maybe a less sinister alternative is possible. But we don't know. If here, what they think is maybe some of the members of the U.S. team at these military games had become infected with the virus from an accidental outbreak at Fort Detrick. Remember, Fort Detrick was shut down just a few months prior to this. And right around the same time that it was shut down, we had the e-cigarette thing and the cases in Hawaii pop up. So they think it's possible that these people may have been inadvertently infected without their knowledge, and they brought it over and they didn't know. That's what China wants to believe. China does not want to believe that the United States would intentionally do this. See, China, oddly enough, and believe me, I'm no fan of China, but at least China is trying to, they're walking a tightrope here. And they're saying they believe that this is more likely what happened. But that would account for the practical impossibility of locating the legendary patient zero, because no one's been able to track down a patient zero. Now, Lainey Ducey, an infectious disease expert at Georgetown University in Washington, said an article in Science magazine that the first human infection had been confirmed as occurring in November 2019, but not in Wuhan, suggesting the virus originated elsewhere and then spread to the seafood markets. Quote, one group put the origins of the outbreak as early as September 18, 2019, and that would be the cases in Hawaii last year. Okay, now, the article also states, quote, as confirmed cases of a novel virus surge around the world with worrisome speed, all eyes have so far focused at the seafood market in Wuhan, China, as the origin of the outbreak, but a description of the first clinical cases published in The Lancet on Friday challenges that hypothesis, end quote. Now, the paper was written by a large group of Chinese researchers from several institutions offering details about the first 41 hospitalized patients who had confirmed infections with what has been dubbed the 2019 novel coronavirus, or 2019-nCoV. In the earliest case, the patients became ill on right around December 1st, had no reported link to the seafood market at all. No, the authors report, quote, no epidemiological link was found between the first patient and the later cases. End quote. Now, the data also shows that in total, 13 of the 41 cases had no link to the marketplace whatsoever. Now, that's a big number. 13 with no link. This according to Daniel Lucy. Now, earlier reports from China health authorities and the World Health Organization said that the first patient had onset symptoms right around December 8th of 2019, and that those reports simply said most cases had links to the seafood market, which was closed on the 1st of January. Quote, Lucy says, if the new data are accurate, the first human infections must have occurred in November 2019, if not earlier, because there is an incubation time between infection and symptom surfacing. If so, the virus possibly spread silently between people in Wuhan and perhaps elsewhere before the cluster of cases from the city's now infamous Wuhan seafood wholesale market was discovered in late December. The virus came into that marketplace before it came out of the marketplace, end quote. According to Lucy, speaking with Science Insider, quote, China must have realized the epidemic did not originate in Wuhan, Lusan seafood market, end quote. Christian Anderson, who is an evolutionary biologist at the Scripps Research Institute, who has analyzed the sequences of this coronavirus to try to clarify its origins. He said the scenario was, quote, entirely plausible, end quote, of infected persons bringing the virus into the seafood market from somewhere outside. Quote, from the Science article, Anderson posted his analysis of 27 available genomes of 2019 and COVID on 25 January on a virology research website. It suggests that they had most recent common ancestor, meaning a common source, as early as October 2019. End quote. Now, what was interesting is that Lucy also noted that MERS was originally believed to have come from a patient in Saudi Arabia in June of 2012. But later, and more through thorough studies, traced it back to an earlier hospital outbreak of unexplained pneumonia in Jordan in April of that year. Now, Lucy said that from the stored samples from people who had died in Jordan, medical authorities confirmed that they had been infected with the MERS virus. Now, this provides impetuous precaution among the public in accepting the quote-unquote official standard narrative that the Western media, always so eager to provide, that they did, as they did with SARS, MERS, and Zika, all of which official narratives were proven later to have been entirely wrong. Isn't it interesting how they always get it wrong? Now, in this case, the Western media flooded their pages for months about the COVID-19 virus originating in the Wuhan seafood market, caused by people eating bats and wild animals. All of this has been proven wrong. Not only did the virus not originate at the seafood market, it did not originate in Wuhan at all. Now been proven that it did not even originate in China, but was brought to China from somewhere else. And part of the proof of this assertion is that the genome varieties of the virus in Iran and Italy have been sequenced and declared to have no part of the variety that infected China, and thereby must, by definition, have originated somewhere else. So we're talking two completely different viruses. They might be cousins, but they sure as hell ain't brother and sister. You see what I'm saying? So it would seem that the only possibility for origination is the United States, because the United States is the only country that has the tree trunk of all varieties. And you have to have a trunk in order to grow a branch. In China was a branch, and China doesn't have a trunk. It may therefore also be true that the original source of the COVID-19 virus was, in fact, if we are following this line here, this evidence, there's only one place on the entire planet where this novel coronavirus could have originated, and that would be the bioweapons lab at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Now, folks, it breaks my heart to think that our country is responsible for this. Now, this would not be a surprise, given that the CDC completely shut down that lab, but also because, as stated article or earlier, Between 2005 and 2012, the United States experienced 1,059 events where pathogens had been either stolen or escaped from Fort Detrick, Maryland's bioweapons laboratory, an average of one every 3 days. Now, that gives us the full timeline beginning in 1977, all the way up to now. That is a long list of executive orders, legislative acts, exercises, simulations, drills, published writings, and so on, including various infections and episodes of strange infections, pneumonia-like infections. But were there others? Was there other foreknowledge? That some were actually prepared for this? Well, other foreknowledge outside of the list of events that and legislations and so forth that I've provided between last night and tonight. Several U.S. senators dumped their stocks right before the outbreak began between late January and February 14th. As well as hundreds of CEOs who unexpectedly quit their jobs around January of this year. Now, are we meant to believe that all of this was just lucky timing? Why did the United States government, on September 30th last year, end the pandemic early warning program to detect coronaviruses just months before it started in China? Just as there was clear knowledge of September 11th, so too is there clear and unmistakable coronavirus foreknowledge. So clearly they prepared for all of this. Operation Coronavirus was a carefully engineered crisis, which has been planned at least 2 decades in advance, if not longer. And these psychopathic social engineers who run the world have artificial intelligence supercomputers to test all scenarios and permutations of their ideas, just like plugging in variables into an algebraic equation. One thing's for sure, though. This operation has many phases and possibilities, and we're not just in the opening scene of what's to come. The plan is to rapidly accelerate as many new world order agendas as possible while people are still ignorant and afraid. To what extent they succeed will depend on how many people we can wake up, how many people we can get out of fear, how many people we can educate. If we can unite and stand in true sovereign power in the knowledge that their inherent birthright of freedom, our inherent birthright or birthright of freedom, now, I do need to give some credit here because not all of this come directly from my own personal research. Some of this came from research that was done at Global Research website. You can find globalresearch.ca. And the other was freedomarticles.com. And an article that was published by Micaiah Freeman, who is the editor of alternative media independent news site, The Freedom Articles, and is also a senior researcher at toolsforfreedom.com. And you can find Micaiah on Stemmit and on Facebook. So I need to give credit to both Global Research and Freedom Articles because it's their research, their writings, plus my own research, plus information that I've received from people like you who email me. I learned about Event 201 from an email. I learned about Clade X from an email. So you people, you listeners, you play a very critical role in what we do here on American Renegade. Because unlike a lot of these people out here, we actually read the emails. We actually research the articles that you send us. In fact, to be honest, 60% of what we do here on BTR and on Spreaker, 60% of it is a direct result of your emails. So I encourage you, please, email the number one, AmericanRenegade@gmail.com. And if you would simply, around Friday is a great day to do it. Send one email with either one or two of what you think are the most important stories of the week, the things that really matter to you. And then we can research those and incorporate those into the broadcast. So that's the number one, AmericanRenegade@gmail.com. Also, Sunday, we will be doing segment three of the Clade exercise. If you want to be a part of the roundtable, go to YouTube, look up Clade X, C-L-A-D-E, space, X, Clade X. Watch segment three. Of course, it would help if you watch segment one and two as well, if you haven't already, and segment four, because it's a four-part series. But we'll be covering segment three on Sunday. And after that, if you want to be a part of the roundtable, you can either email me your Skype ID, because we do it through Skype. It's the only way we can do it is through Skype. And I can do two to three people, including myself. I know that gets a little crowded, but it can be done if everybody is patient and gives everybody else a chance to talk. But email me, oneamericanrenegade@gmail.com, with your Skype ID. I'll send you an invite, a contact request, whatever you want to call it. All you have to do is accept it. And then early on Sunday, I will send you a Skype message explaining how this is going to work. What I'll do is about 10 minutes before the end of the clip, I will contact you through Skype. Get everybody in and everybody set up, and that way as soon as the clip ends, you're already in a Skype conference, sitting on mute, waiting for me to introduce you. Or if you don't want to email, you just want to do a direct, send me a Skype request. DANCINGWITHPOI, Dancing with Poi. DANCINGWITHPOI, Dancing with Poi, is my Skype ID. It'll pop up, Dude McDude. That'll be me. Send me a Skype request. And then again, we'll get you set up to come in on Sunday for the roundtable. And that'll begin at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We'll start with the clip, and then as soon as the clip is over, we'll get into the roundtable. Suzette, I'd like to have you in there if possible, if you have time. That's Suzette from Suzette Live Talk. She's also on the same channel as Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas of Bulletproof Radio, and she's on every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Hamestrap, if you'd like to be a part of it, I think you'd make a great addition to the conversation. But anyway, so there we have this timeline of beginning in 1977, so 77, 87, 97, 2017. 77, 87, 97, 2007, 2017, 43 years of executive orders, legislative acts, simulations, drills, exercises, written papers, publications, whatever. Okay, I'm assuming Bringing It Boy. Bringing It Boy is Robert. That's Suzette's husband. But I never know if it's you or your wife. I never know which one it is. But if you want to be a part, that's cool too. I mean, you just have to let me know. That would be pretty cool, get both you and your wife on at the same time. That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, if you want to be a part, that's absolutely, you know, absolutely, no problem. So that's how you have, if you want to be a part, that's how you do it. In the meantime, I want to thank everyone for joining me this evening. I hope it's been educational, informative. And please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. I'm Art on the Ground for American Renegade. Be safe out there.
Now you're gonna make it, you're free.